Yes, okay.
Did you just say dry hump?
I did. And, you know, honestly, underutilized. Hasn't really been popping since like eighth grade. Maybe we bring it back.
I've been saying, let's bring back dry hump and put that on t-shirt. Hi, I'm Boca.
And I'm dry humping.
And welcome to the Bromance Podcast. That's two dudes talking about romantic comedies because love is dead, movies are real, and this cast is strangely stacked. This is our season 7 premiere. We've been gone for the summer. We're back to help you stay less alone this fall. Garrett, how are you feeling?
I am feeling like we took a break, and I have never been more rejuvenated and ready to watch 4-minute comedies.
Yeah,
like big Ross energy.
I missed the chance to tell people my opinions on things I didn't care about. So I'm really glad we're doing this again. And There's nobody who I could be more pleased to be joining us today. She was with us for our season 5 finale on Boomerang. One of my favorite people alive. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Christiana Wiggins. Chris, how are you doing?
Yay. Great.
You're good? You ready?
Yeah, happy to be here. Very ready.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause you know, it was by chance. I really texted you less than 24 hours ago saying, hey, do you want to be on the pod? But you're a go-getter. You got hustle and grit. That's that East Coast energy. Tell us what movie we're doing today.
He's just not that into you.
Yay. And what's your relationship with this film?
I love this film. I've seen it many times. One of my favorite rom-coms. I feel like there's the perfect mixture of romantic education and happy endings.
Yeah. You know, it's call that a massage parlor. And, you know, one of our mutual friends, she was describing this movie as her wrist film. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And I was like, and Garrett's like, eyes popped out of his head. And the way that
this big face on that one.
Yeah. Cause this movie, it's like you can see yourself in it. And you're like, because there's so many characters and so much pain. I was texting y'all during this, like, I don't think I like this anymore, y'all. Yeah.
What?
Here's the thing. I don't think Boca likes an ensemble cast for a rom-com. Because anytime you get
this
like,
movie, I enjoyed it. This isn't okay. Love Actually. It's better than Love Actually.
Yes. What was the one that I said was an upgraded Love Actually after the fact? Crazy Stupid Love.
Jinx.
Love Actually. Love Crazy Stupid Love. Love this. I like, you can see different relationships because love's not all the same, so you can at least break it out and be like, oh yeah, I've been in that shitty relationship, or like that one looked shitty but it actually finished super strong and life's weird.
I suppose. Do you want to get into it? This is gonna be hard to get into actually because there's like a million threads throughout this fucking thing.
That is the only hard part when it comes to doing a podcast on these type of movies, because it's like there's 8,000 people and you lose track easily.
So here's what I think we can do. Chris, tell me if you're game for this. Okay. We're going to go group, but Wikipedia did this for us, group by group, right? Because there's clusters. And at least for the beginning, we're going to just do the actors' names, because every single person in this is minimum B-list. 80% yes. of this cast is A-list, B-list, and then it's like, Gigi, who the hell are you, respectfully?
Goodwin.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh.
What has she done?
Right? I was like, I know your name, but I don't know what she did.
She was also in Something Borrowed. She was also in one more. There's one more. I think it also has Jennifer Aniston in it. Jennifer is a sweetheart.
That's how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay. If you say so.
She was in Big Love. And also, yes, which maybe you didn't watch, but also Once Upon a Time. And she played Snow White in Once Upon a Time.
Oh, okay. So she's done stuff. We're just not, you know, she's not in my cue zone, you know?
Yes, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a good actress. She's a little cutie.
Yeah. And Garrett, I want you to mentally prepare yourself now, because this is going to be the ultimate kumite of that name.
Christ.
Because the whole, I was like, fuck learning the character name. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, the problem is it's everyone's like, oh, Ben Affleck. You're Ben Affleck. Like, I'm not going to learn your name. I bet your name's something stupid like Ben. Like it's one of those movies, you know?
Why do people hate the name Ben, by the way? That's the thing that I've seen on
I'm not even hating on Ben. It's just like, I feel like it's one of those, like, I don't know who else does that, but there's several different like male actors where half the time it's just their name is their name because it's a short dude name and they're just like, fuck it.
The easy name. You know what I've heard? I heard the other day, we had a new guy start on my team named Todd. And he told me that he hates the name Todd because so many people call him Scott, which I'd never heard of before.
that no correlation. You can hate
the name. Like, I hate being named Garrett because everyone calls me Isaac. It's like, well, everyone needs to learn what your fucking name is.
Yeah. Like, there's no connection. Like, I can get him named Todd. Todd's a respectfully douchey name. It makes me think of the...
Yeah, 100%.
The buff doctor from fucking Scrubs with the high fives.
Yeah. Up yeah. top. Yeah.
That's the Todd. So, it's not a great name. Whatever. That's an aside. We're going to get into it. We're just going to stick with actor names because that's easier. And Wikipedia is going to guide us through this. Season 7. Are you ready?
I've never been more ready in my life.
All right, cool. So this takes place in Baltimore. It's basically The Wire, right? And it opens with some 5-year-olds on a playground, and this girl's getting picked on by an asshole little boy, and the mom's like, oh, he's only picking on you because he likes you. And allegedly that's a false factoid that all women around the world have allegedly imprinted. Chris, is that a thing?
I would say so. Not genuinely treating you like crap, but I think playful people are like, well, women are brought up to think that if someone's kind of poking fun at you or messing with you, that they like you. Mm. And I think even as you get older, maybe it does, maybe there's something psychologically there where you like bad boys or people who don't treat you so well. Maybe it's all connected.
It's all connected. So whether or not
is that even accurate though? Cause like Abunga, maybe your lived experience is different than mine. There was a girl who I will protect her identity because it came up later in life. Let's call her Alex. And I hated Alex in elementary school. And then I later met Alex sophomore year of college, and Alex was great. But the thing was, she was like, oh, I knew you had a crush on me in elementary school because you were mean to me. And I was like, no, I didn't like you. Like, why? I wasn't flirting with you. I just genuinely thought you were like the worst. Like, is that even, I don't flirt mean.
Garrett, you didn't have to correct her.
I did.
There's fourth no need.
Me popped up and was like, no. Fourth grade me did not like you.
No, yeah. As Chris knows, as hell, as both of you know, I'm a simp. And so, like, I've never necessarily relate. Hey, listen, the first step of a problem.
The first step is admission.
Right.
And hey, it's hard out here for a simp. Simping ain't easy. I respect it.
Exactly. So, like, every Thursday night, I'm like in fucking YMCA, like, hi, my name is Boke and I'm a simp. And we get eat donuts. And so I didn't relate to that energy. But Chris, have you found in your own personal experience, like, oh, I assume then that he's into me because he's being aloof / dickish?
For me, no. But I do think other folks feel that way. But I'm not attracted. I think unfortunately, this is part of your simp problem. No offense.
She and I are each other's like simp sponsors. Yeah,
okay, that's true. Okay. Sorry. It's part of our problem. I don't think anyone wants someone who they perceive to be too nice. Like, I think everyone likes to have a little bit of an edge, but you of course don't want the person that you're into to treat you like a jerk. No one actually wants that, I would hope. Mm-hmm. But I don't like mean people. So if someone is being mean to me to flirt with me, I would not get it. And I would just not talk to them.
Yeah.
So.
And so one person encapsulated this warped mind view in this film more than anybody else. And that was Jennifer Goodwin's character. Her whole thing is she can't tell shit. She's always wrong. Yeah,
she is dead ass wrong about every dude she's ever met.
Yeah.
Reads every sign wrong. And here's the problem. When you have rose colored glasses, all the red flags just look like flags. And all she's seeing is just a sea of white flags.
Exactly. So she thinks all these men are surrendering when really they're just like running away. Because she goes on a date with E from Entourage. I said we're going to do character or actor names. He's E from Entourage. Do you know his real name? Entourage.
No, that's E.
It's E, right?
Yeah.
I liked him in Entourage too.
He was great.
Yeah, we're just calling E.
Yeah. Okay, so she goes on a date with E, right? And she's like, wow, this is great. And he is like, all right, time to text Scarlett Johansson. See, this is going to be hard to get through because it will keep ticking on to the next fucking character.
I almost think it'd be easier to just do it in the order in which the scenes happen because all over the fuck. It's not like a Love Actually where you can just take the couples. Like, if they all bleed into each other, it fucks the whole thing up.
Okay, all right. So, E texts Scarlett Johansson after his date with Jennifer Goodwin, but Scarlett Johansson is in a grocery store behind fucking Bradley Cooper.
Which in the power ranking, this man is, yeah, he beats him.
Wait, no, what, I don't even know what was that manly, what was that manly chuckle? I don't know. No, I don't know what that alludes to. You said,
with an unblemished record of heterosexuality, Bradley Cooper is just a fucking feast for the eyes compared to old E. Like, it's just like, it's not even comparable. If I'm Scarlett Johansson, I'm like, oh, I know what I bring to the table, and I want him to be at that table.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was just, yeah. So it's like, so Bradley Cooper let Scarlett Johansson cut in front of her and in front of him in line at the grocery store. She wins an ice cooler. She's too excited about it.
Never wins anything.
That's upsetting. But yeah. So, like, Chris, what's the appropriate reaction to winning an ice cooler at a fucking Handy Mart?
Yeah, that was pathetic. It's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to her. Which is very hard to believe because she's really hot in the film and in real life. But anyway, I think that it's important to note here that we've all, at some point in your life, before you catch on to how, I don't know, dating and interactions, we've all been Jennifer Goodwin's character, GG. We've all been there before. Mm-hmm. And we've all thought that, you know, we're just so hopelessly, as Garrett said, it's the rose-colored glasses. But before you, like, really get hurt by someone, you do have those rose-colored glasses on. You think everyone's great. Everyone's going to be a match. Everyone could be my husband. You never know. And I think that's one thing. That's why I love this movie so much, because I like her arc and how she learns about herself. But back to the point at hand, no, it was an outsized reaction for winning the cooler, which I don't even remember, but I don't even think it was like a, was it a genuine cooler? It was like a hard one, or it was like a plastic one?
Hard on, large lunch size. Like, oh, I'm going fishing. Okay. This is the cooler size.
All right, that's less embarrassing than like a styrofoam cooler situation.
Jesus. Don't get excited about styrofoam. It's bad for the environment.
She was only excited about winning. She didn't care what it was. She was only excited that she won a contest of some sort.
Right. So Bradley Cooper and Scarlett Johansson are flirting in the parking lot and they exchange information because, like, is he an agent in Baltimore? Okay. Hollywood.
Loosely some sort of music agent or connected to the music industry in some way, shape, or form. But I didn't know, like, Baltimore was big popping off for, like, what is she does, like, cabaret shit. Like, it doesn't seem like she's, like, you know.
I'm not sure he was the agent. He had friends that were tied to the music industry and then something of the sort.
But he said a guy in my office. So I was like, so you do adjacent work to whatever the fuck that is. Whatever. He works in a place where that is not the biggest problem in the movie. People seeking talent in Baltimore.
Logic, what?
Yeah.
1-800, whatever the number is.
I don't know what the reference.
It's the suicide hotline. It's the name of the song he did. Now I seem like a dick.
Oh, Jesus, Garrett.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Of all the Logic songs.
I'm explaining it. It's worth. Let's think his number one song. Anyway, moving on. They have insane chemistry. And I'm just like, just fuck already. But unfortunately, probably as she's also thinking, he's like, I have a wife. And she's like, a whole ass wife. And he said, there's no reason I can't help you with your music career, even though you're really fucking hot and a yoga teacher and, like, a great singer, and we have insane chemistry, and I'm probably going to cheat on my wife. And she's like, well, I feel like I want you to cheat on your wife, so here's my number, and here's the card.
A few scenes later, she's on a black couch with a white background. But before that, so Bradley Cooper gets in the car, and guess who's driving it? It's Matt Damon's best pal, Benny Affleck.
Yeah, we know he contributed to Good Will Hunting. He did something out there.
Fuck you. All right. He got that great line. Yeah. Wait, Chris, where do you weigh Matt Damon versus Ben Affleck?
I don't like men from Boston, but I.
That's just a good opinion.
Yeah. I think I would weigh
Dang, that's kind of hard. I think I like Ben better. I think I would weigh Ben higher. I used to like Matt Damon better.
Yeah.
But I really like the movie The Town.
Yeah, let's rob some folks.
That. Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Ben. I think he won me over with that.
Yeah. Because, you know, young Matt Damon.
At this point is probably, like, better looking and probably, like, would be more fun to date. But I feel like he comes with a lot of baggage, whereas Matt's like, I'm in the back half of my career. Let's build a zoo, and I'm in Mars, and like I don't have. I started like a water foundation. It's like that's cute, but like I want some edge.
Ben Affleck's got a whole lot more grit. He's got the stupid back tattoos. He's got the alcoholism. He got
J-Lo booty.
Yeah, and even then he wasn't happy. I'm sure he was happy. You know, a photo only is a moment, but that photo of him like on the boat. Rubbing J-Lo's ass, and he just has the million-yard stare as if he's remembering Vietnam. And I'm like, God damn, Ben.
Well, you know, sorry, this is off topic now, but
that's what we do.
It was only because, you know, at the time, they broke up because the paparazzi was chasing them down. It was at the start of kind of the internet age, and I feel like they broke up because they were overwhelmed by the pressure of everywhere they went. You're on a vacation. You're in a yacht in the middle of the ocean. It's someone with a freaking 10,000 yard zoom is looking at you from the shore. It's obnoxious. It's not fun. It's not
even really is.
Bad time. No. So
they were each other's one that got away, and now they can close that one out.
Yeah. Hope if they get married and that's it, that's the end of the story. It'll be so dope. That
would be pretty dope.
Ben Affleck drops Bradley Cooper off. They never explain why they're in a car together. Ben Affleck goes home to Jennifer Aniston. Did they date in real life? Am I losing the thread?
No, yes.
I don't know. She did a lot of.
They did not. Okay.
No.
All right. So Ben Affleck and Jennifer Aniston's thing in this movie is that, man, they've been together for 7 years. Almost said 2 years. Very different. And everything's great.
And they're in their like mid to late 30s. Like they're not just like, you don't got 7 years to just keep fucking around.
Exactly. Yeah. When, you know, past 35, you know. You gotta watch the clock. And so I say as a 26-year-old, I'm gonna regret that statement in 10 years.
That's a lot of age privilege right there.
Exactly. It's very ageist to me. Please excuse me. And so it's like, hey, Ben Affleck, can we get married, please? And he's like, no, I don't believe in it. It's icky and gross and stupid. And it's like, kind of, but like tax benefits, if nothing else, fuck.
He also says, I would like to, this is triggered by Jennifer Aniston's little sister getting engaged, okay? And so she's like, hey, what's up with us? Do you think that it's normal that my younger sister is getting engaged and you're really happy for her, but you don't want to marry me? What's up with that? And he's very much so, then he gives some bullshit talk about, would you sign a paper with your friends? Would you get your friends to like sign on to a contract? Why do you have to pay the county for the person that you love and want to spend your life with? And it's a heap of baloney.
Mm-hmm. Please elaborate. Why is it a heap of baloney?
Because it's different. It makes sense. You don't split your life with your friends and all your finances with your friends. Well, you do. You split your life with your friends in terms of, you know, you spend a lot of time with them. You love them. You trust in them. But the person who's your partner, they obviously have a different role in your life. And I think that it makes a lot of sense to join that. I mean, beyond people just wanting to get married because they're in love and they want to just like really solidify it with that person. Beyond that, it is good for like living your life with someone else, like buying homes together, your finances, if you want to have children together. You know, like if you have kids with someone and then you split up and you're not married, you know how hard it is to get child support? It's like a whole nother process. So like, if you're setting up your life to be with someone else, like marriage makes a lot of sense beyond just romantically wanting to be together for the long term, I will say. So, and I think also if you're with someone for 7 years and you want to spend your whole life with them, but you're afraid of the piece of paper, it's like, grow up. Okay. You could just sign. You go to the freaking courthouse and sign the little paper. You don't have to have a big wedding. You don't tell anyone. I know like three couples who got married during COVID and didn't tell anyone. I was like, good for you.
Garrett, so, counterpoint.
Oh, why do I have to be the counterpoint?
I'm the moderator.
Okay. I mean, no. I think probably what, because again, you could see yourself and people. So I think like, I could see like mid-20s me, which was like the sheer thought of that, though, Voca's going to laugh at this because I think I talked about a lot, but like the sheer thought of that internally, despite what my mouth might have said, like scared the living fuck out of me. Because it was like the concept of eternity. Because you don't want, you know, once you get married, they're like, well, this will be cute for 3 years. You're like, well, that's gonna be a bad life decision. So it's like you set out for like forever. And so I think like you could probably have a bit of arrested development, or at least it seems like he has, where he's carried this philosophy into his mid-30s, and it's like, this is going really well. I really love you. I don't want to fuck this up because I know I'll have a panic attack if we get married. Like that, he doesn't communicate that at that point in time. Spoiler alert, we can circle back to that later in the film. But like, I think it was more of like, he knew how he would react to marriage. So he wasn't anti-marriage. He was anti him fucking up the relationship. So let's just keep things exactly as they are because I love you. I'm never going to break up with you. And it keeps me internally happy. And it's completely insane because it literally is like a signature and a big, like, we, you know, I put on a penguin suit, we walk in a straight line. It shouldn't affect anything. But I think men's psychology on that shit is a little weird because I've definitely had that exact same hangup. Now I just want to get married and meet people.
Yeah. I think it does. Yes. You know, I agree with that. I think it also does depend on your stage in life and where you're at, because right now I'm 27 and I would be frightened to get married right now, but I don't think the same. I don't think that's going to be my mindset my whole life. I would hope that in my mid to late 30s, I will want to get married. Cause you know what my aunt told me when I was just on vacation, she told me having children is a young people's job. So you better hurry up. And I was like, well, damn. And she said, you're not going to want to be 40 running after a 2-year-old because your bones are just going to be tired. But anyway, so that was a little tidbit of my life.
Being a man is so much easier.
Yeah, I was going to say, my parents had me at 42 and they echoed that same sentiment.
Really? Yeah. Damn, I thought you were just
the opposite. If we could have spun that back. No.
Yeah. Yeah. And so while Jennifer Aniston and Ben Affleck are going through that, Bradley Cooper gets back home and he goes back home to his wife, Jennifer Connelly, right? And Jennifer Connelly and him just bought like a brownstone. Or remember when Snoop was hiding bodies in The Wire and said all the dilapidated buildings? They have a nice one of those. I'm like, oh, this one's supposed to be. And she seems very type A, but she's nice. And they're like renovating the house or whatever. And she has a whole thing about like, hey, have you been smoking? Because I found like cigarettes out there. The cigarette thing was such a crazy roller coaster throughout this movie. Because like, oh, we already know he's talking to fucking Scarlett Johansson. I bet he's smoking those cigarettes. And so we're renovating the house and I want to have babies. She mentions having the babies. It's important to mention they got married because they were together in college and she gave him an ultimatum. That's the best thing to do in any relationship. Get married or I'm leaving you. So Bradley Cooper shrugged and said, we're married. And now he's out here talking to yoga instructors. So you need to get, if he don't want to love you the right way, he ain't going
to. Men might do this. I don't know. Cause this could be me just fucking up, but like any woman, at least that's listened to this, cause I know a couple people that have done this in their life, who puts someone on a timeline or an ultimatum. That's totally fair. If you're like, look, I got a timeline. Like I'm going to shit or get off the pot here. That's fair. But the ultimatum to get someone in, that's just a time bomb. I mean, maybe it works out. There are probably success stories there where the guy is just like in the Ben Affleck seat and maybe he's ready, but he's just scared of the jump. Then you have the Bradley Cooper thing and you're like, you don't really want to spin that wheel. Like you don't want to force someone into a marriage that then's going to implode. Cause like they weren't all in, they just didn't want to, like, don't get married. Cause you don't want to break up with someone.
Right. Yeah. So that's what's happening in Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Connelly's household. And also Luis Guzman is their contractor. Doesn't matter. I just like Luis Guzman. So going back to Gigi's bullshit, right? So it's like, oh no, E from Entourage it's never just going to be E. It's always E from Entourage. He hasn't called me back. Okay, I'm just going to swing by the bar that he mentioned he loves to go to and see if he's there. So she goes there, right? And she's sitting, Busy Phillips is the hostess. And it's like, hey, Justin Long, have you seen E from Entourage? I feel like I'm playing with action figures. Have you seen E from Entourage? He's like, what? Do you know him? Oh, yeah, he's my best friend or whatever, so I haven't seen him. Oh, God, you're in love with him, and he's not going to call you back. Because apparently Justin Long, he can see the Matrix. He knows what folks are really fucking about.
But dudes know, it's in the same way, like, chicks know other chicks. Dudes know other dudes. Like, you can watch another dude and be like, oh, no, yeah, this thing happened for you. I've done this shit. I've seen this whole routine. You're fucking going downhill.
Mm-hmm. I suppose. No? Well, his thing is he's supposed to be really good at it because he works in a bar, so he's seen so many first dates that he's the fucking mentalist, except for dates only, not solving crimes.
Well, yeah. Chris, is Justin Long attractive? Because I feel like in high school, everyone loved Justin Long, and I didn't get that shit. I didn't she get that shit then, I don't get that shit now.
Yeah, no, he doesn't do it for me, Justin Long. Of all the people
in the right movie, take.
Definitely not.
This is a competitive movie to be the guy also, though, because you got Bradley Cooper, Ben Affleck, E from Entourage, Justin Long. Mm-hmm. That might be end of list. But yeah.
My girlfriend in 11th grade was like, I would leave you today for Justin Long. And I was like, fair, but also I don't get it.
What year were you in 11th grade? You were in 11th grade in 2009. That's when this movie came out.
Yeah. He was in this. He was in Die Hard. He was in Apple commercials. And apparently he was in My Girlfriend.
Dang.
You had nightmares about Justin Long fucking your woman?
I was just hoping that last name was not accurate, you know?
Oh, geez. So... Justin Long kind of inadvertently takes Jennifer Goodwin. How do you Jennifer?
Jennifer.
Okay.
Giannis Jennifer.
He's Greek or Nigerian Greek. He's Greek.
That name I think is Greek.
Goodwin? That's British.
They're not Goodwin. Jennifer.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. Whatever. If there was a Y there, I'd have an easier time here. So they become friends, right? Yennefer Goodwin. That's the character from The Witcher. Yennefer Goodwin and Justin Long become friends, right? So like Yennefer's, she's just getting a flood of men through her doors. But each time she's like getting some sort of mixed signal. She's like calls him like, hey, what does this mean? It means he doesn't want you, click. That happens like three times.
So the fact that he picks, she calls him at one point and he's like making out with a chick on a couch.
Yeah.
And like he stops the makeout to talk to her. Like that was the only thing that she did key up in on that was a real fucking thing.
Yeah. The one sign that she interpreted correctly, right? And so they continue to be friends or whatever. And like, Justin Long's, I'm gonna set you up, Yennefer, with my boy Bill. And Bill doesn't show up, so just whatever. Okay, it culminates, it erupts, it crests, crescendos, climaxes. During the party. Chris, you want to tell us what happens during Justin Long's house party?
Yes. At Justin Long's house party. I've also just looked it up and apparently the American pronunciation of her name is Jennifer. So
is that why you're muted right now?
Yeah. That's why I was muted because I had to know. I've been calling her Jennifer for 10 years. So wow. Anyway, I'm not going to change that. But just for the viewers, the listeners, to know. Yes. So at this party, you know, Jennifer shows up. She's like, okay, well, Justin obviously invited me because he wants to be my man. He has a little crush on me. So I'm going to go and I'm going to play hostess while I'm there. So she goes to his party and she's like helping him out every time he needs something little. And he's clearly doing it calling on to her because, you know, he thinks of her as a friend. So he's like, hey, help me clean up these beers. Hey, can you go on a run for this? Whatever it is. And she also takes it upon herself to like insert herself as the host to other partygoers, unbeknownst to Justin Long. He doesn't even know this. So she's like going around being like, I'll take that. Do you need more ice? Need more water? Whatever it is. And so then she stays super late and there's this really hot, is she a model?
She's tall. She's got a long torso. She reached shit up from up top of the shit. That wasn't a helpful sentence, but I was like, yo. She
can reach shit off the top of the shit.
This broad be like Dhalsim from Street Fighter, just stretching, you know?
Right. But she's very beautiful. And she's also hanging around. She's talking to Justin Long, what have you. And one thing you didn't mention before is one of the reasons why he is also the person telling Jennifer at the bar all these things is because he's also kind of an ass and he's a player and he slept with Busy Phillips and then didn't call her. And then she's like his hostess or whatever at the front of the restaurant or the bar, sorry, at the front of the bar. And she's kind of pissed off about him, which I love also for his character arc too. But he's a person who kind of plays with girls and has, you know, done all the plays in the book. So that's also why he tells Jennifer, oh, this is, you know, what's up.
and tells her about the exception versus the rule, which is a very important thing. And so, yeah, so when we get back to this party, So, yeah, so he is obviously trying to sleep with this model. And Guinevere thinks that he has a crush on her. So she's, like, staying late because she, like, wants everybody to go home so she could, like, talk to her man, who she, in her head, she's doing it again. She starts fantasizing that this person is her man. And she's, like, awkwardly hanging around. And he's, like, okay. So then it kind of culminates into this, like, weird confrontation. That's when they have a confrontation, right?
She throws herself at him after tall girl leaves. It's like, okay, we're on the couch. You ever not know what move to do, and you think about it too much, that whatever move you do is perhaps the worst move you could have fucking done? No. This was this is mostly about chess.
I feel you, Boca. Keep going.
Yeah. So that's what she, Chris, like, couldn't be me. Ice in these veins. Fuck you mean, misstepping. No. Anyway, lies. So she just, like, she human torpedoes herself at Justin Long's face, like fucking Ralph Wiggum going through a window. And he's like, what are you doing? And he's mad. He's like, no, you fucked this up because we're friends. And he's like, yeah, you're allowed to be upset that somebody launched themselves at your face. But no, he's an asshole. Whatever.
No, he's not an asshole for that. Yes, no, you are allowed to just be friends with someone. That's not why he's an asshole. He's an asshole for all of his other interactions with women aside from this interaction. And also, she was ultimately correct. She was picking up on what he was putting down before he even realized. So
then it wasn't down yet.
She was picking up what he had yet to put down.
Yeah.
That's theft.
Okay.
Ha! Ooh, metaphor.
Fair.
Can I pose a When Harry Met Sally level question?
Ooh.
Do you think that I'm gonna change it though. I think that men and women can genuinely just be friends. Like, I have a lot of platonic female friends. I don't have any siblings personally. They might as well be them. That being said, do you think that a man and a woman who find each other sexually attractive can be friends?
I would say maybe not really good friends, but I mean, actually, yeah, I'm sure. Because I think that maybe it's harder for men. I don't know. You both can give your point of view. But I think for women, some women, and I have friends like this, they are attracted to their friends, but they don't want to be with their friends. And so sometimes I notice that they will be a little bit more flirty towards their male friends, or they'll seek attention from their male friends. So there are women like that, and I know many of them. But I think for the most part, for women, you can find your friends attractive, but just logically know that it wouldn't work out in a romantic setting. So it's okay. Like, it's okay for you to have them as a friend. But I think if you think they're attractive and you feel like you really get along, but, like, for example, Boca and I are friends. Sorry to use you as the example. We're on this podcast together, but we're friends, and I don't feel like we would ever romantically get along. But I think you're a handsome guy. But I don't think we would ever romantically work, like, ever in a million years, mostly because you lie about church. But
oh, what? Oh, she said because
he lies about going about church.
Yes, you know that.
Yes. Yeah,
everybody in my life knows I do that. It's barely a lie at this point. Better Catholic than you, Mr.
Methodist. Well, who do you lie to? Because if everyone knows it, that's called the truth.
My parents.
His parents, yeah. So it's like,
oh, so you're upset that he lies to his parents?
Yes, I think you can say, and also you liked a lot of my friends and dated some of them too. So I think that you can be friends with people and recognize that, hey, you know, even if you're like, oh, that's a conventionally attractive person, I get along with them very well. I think for women, you can say to yourself, well, I don't think romantically we'd be a match, and therefore you can be close friends with those people. Sorry,
Boca, I'm going to pivot this over to you because first of all, let me put myself on blast. For men, I think it's different. I think if I'm friends with you, then that means I already like who you are and I find you sexually attractive. I don't know that there's no future scenario in which those two things would not get fucked up. Because I think what'll happen is, maybe we're just territorial or assholes, but, like, another guy will enter the picture and then you'll be like, well, I'm kind of in line. Maybe I'm not, but like, you know, it's in the realm of possibility. Like, for example, Shoe on the Other Foot. Do you think you could be friends with Bradley Cooper or Michael B. Jordan platonically, just friends? Like, hey, they got personality traits. Michael, it's great you're training for Creed 3 and I could grate cheese on you, but unfortunately, you're a little emotionally unavailable, so we're never going to, nothing's happening?
No, that's unfair.
I'm just saying, there's levels to the game. That works until hot overpowers logic.
But you pass the ball earlier to me and I'm gonna take the ball now.
Okay, here. Take the ball.
I think a woman's favorite male friend is a eunuch. I think that's what Scarlett Johansson was getting out of E from Entourage earlier in this film.
He was a eunuch.
He was giving emotional hand jobs to Scarlett Johansson, so she would just slide through. He was a fool for her dirty work, all right? Have I dated some of Chris and my mutual's friends in the past? Yes. Perhaps, maybe. I used to be known in certain circles, in certain areas around the country. Three, two.
Are you gonna put yourself on blast?
Did I forget somebody? If I forgot somebody, I feel rude. Wait. That one was a one-time thing. And all three times, it was them who decided. In fact, that's why I'm a big fan of labels and of marriage. Because marriage is an economic proposition for women, but it's a proposition to guard yourself against disrespect from men. Because without a title, hurt people. And a lot of women feel as if they can just, you know, do whatever the fuck they want. So the idea of, can you be friends with somebody you're physically attracted to? You can, if you establish boundaries of what you are and are not comfortable with. Okay. It's difficult. It requires cognizance. And also, sometimes you don't realize somebody is hot, separate from those within the inner sanctum. I remember I messaged Chris just like within this summer. It's like, oh, Christ, I didn't realize so-and-so was hot. Life was easier before I knew this, right? You know, once you take the, not the red pill, blue pill, that's a loaded whatever. Once you put on the fucking glasses from Escape from New York type shit and you start seeing the real shit, it's like, I wish I didn't know. So anyway, yes, you can be friends with people you're attracted to, establish boundaries, and don't let yourself be disrespected. And don't reallow people into your life who disrespected you.
Yeah.
Wow, Becca. That was profound.
Thank you. Where were we in the movie?
The party.
We are... Yeah.
Oh, and so Gigi, Jennifer Goodwin, Jennifer is like, I may look stupid and I may make out with people that don't want to make out with me, but at least I'm out there. She's fucking John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Audibles. Like, I like me. My friends like me. And so he's left to think about that. Meanwhile, oh, go ahead.
Okay. But I will say another important thing that she says in that monologue is she says, I am closer to finding love because I'm open to it than you are, because you just think like this world is a game. And I think she was onto something with that. I think she was.
She was. Never put yourself out there. Trust nobody.
No, that's not true. Here's the thing I do. You gotta just put yourself entire, all chips on table every single time.
And that's how you lose in poker immediately.
Yeah, that's but really you're gonna learn lessons.
Like, that's okay.
Well, emotionally, here's my thing: the people that are like, I gotta protect myself, I'm like, I don't gotta protect shit. I'm going 100% in on you until it turns out that doesn't work. Then I'm gonna be grateful for the lessons learned. And I'm gonna keep it moving. And as long as your intentions are great, it's like Thomas Edison or whatever, when it was like,
I
discovered 10,000 different ways to not make the light bulb. Exactly. And then I found one that worked. It's like, cool, I wanna eliminate all the ways to not discover my wife until I get to my wife.
Hey, Garrett.
Yes, Boca.
Hey, Garrett.
Yes, Boca.
Has anyone ever broken up with you?
One time in 10th grade.
And oh, that's new. Last time I asked him that question, he's like, nope, never. And like, yeah, Chris's face. Yeah.
Okay, I'm undefeated over 18. Over 18, I'm undefeated. As an adult man, I am undefeated.
Garrett, what? Wow. Okay, no wonder. Wow, I was
going to
watch you on your take, but you've never been dumped? What the hell?
Mm-mm. I was dumped in high school. It sucked.
Oh, but I'm sorry. In between chemistry and lunch, somebody said they don't want to hold your hand at the football game. Garrett Hezekiah Balliet.
I deserved it. Mm. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, and you're okay. So we got to move
forward. I was wrong.
Frequently. So... Jennifer Aniston, after Gigi is like, hey, mixed signals are bad signals. Jennifer Aniston's like, oh, fuck, I guess I'm leaving my man of 7 years. So now yeah. Ben Affleck's living on a boat. Also,
honestly, the dream.
What?
I would love to live on a boat. I would, in San Francisco, if there was like a harbor and I could just live on a nice sailboat, fuck, I would do that.
White people. So he's doing that. But then
hang on, no. I'm really
that one black back. Person you know that lives
parties?
On a boat.
You know how many boat parties Boca attends? Every Thursday is boat party day.
I love to
this
visit.
Man's IG might as well be renamed Boca the Boatman.
Yeah, shout out Big Jim. He always runs the party boat out of Oakland. But no, it's like I visit. I'm not anti boat. I'm anti living on a boat. If nothing else, though, internet's going to be terrible.
I love it. That's your fucking. You're like, I can't access Twitter. I'm out.
Yeah.
True.
Is that a surprise to either of you?
No, I knew someone. My last roommate, her boyfriend lived on a boat. Mm. Yeah, she hated it. She loved boats. Her family has a boat, but she hated it because she was like, it is just uncomfortable being on a boat with someone else. It's nice for like one night, but when they genuinely live on a boat and have like a pump for a shower, it is not a good time to just live your whole life there. But it is great on weekends. Yeah. You can sail around, you know, yeah. the bay, wherever you live. It's like, it's nice to like sail around and do stuff like that on the weekends.
If you sail your date around the Golden Gate and around the entire bay to go back and then dock where you are and like make dinner and you don't end up having sex, that's a you problem.
True.
So Affleck's on a boat, right? But then Jennifer Aniston, her dad has a heart attack at little sister's wedding. Shout out, one of her four sisters was Kate from NCIS. I was like, hey, that's Kate from NCIS.
Hey,
from like the early. Shout out, anytime you're homesick, it's like, all right, I guess I'm going to watch 8 hours of NCIS on cable. Shout out USA Network. And so she has three other sisters and they're all married now. But and so they're all in the house of the dad, and it's like, okay, the sisters are doing the shit, and all these other husbands, these yahoos, these men, they ain't doing shit. Yeah, they're not fixing plates, they're not getting groceries. And but then Ben Affleck shows up out of nowhere, and like he was washing dishes, he didn't tell nobody, he just showed up and handled that shit. That was really nice. Yeah. Everyone agrees. They're nodding, which is great for a podcast.
Nodding is not great for a podcast.
Fuck you both. Agree, Boca.
Yeah. Please continue.
And so she's all crushed. She sets down her thing and cries and hugs him, whatever. He's like, hey, these men in this house are husbands and they're not doing what they got to do. You, we're not even together right now and you still showed up. How he got in the house? But yeah, you yeah. did that shit. Good for you. So the moral of the story is fuck a label, let's vibe. And that's what it should have been.
Yes.
Chris. Yes. No? Maybe?
I don't think so, but
in that moment, if it ended there, that would have been the moral of the story. I'll close out their loop. Ben's like, later, all right, so since you showed up, we're going to move back in. And then she finds a wedding ring in the pocket of his dingy ass cargo shorts. Cause of course Ben Affleck has cargo shorts. And he's like, damn it, you caved. That's what I was thinking at that moment. He caved. It's like, ah, damn it. But
well,
yeah.
Go ahead, Garrett.
No. You go. My thought was stupid.
I was gonna say, well, he knew that it would be what ultimately made her happy. It's like the flower conversation going around on Twitter right now about that guy who was, Garrett, do you have Twitter?
No.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen I'm a consumer. I'm not a poster. I don't think anyone cares what I have to say. So I just like,
we have a podcast.
Oh, audibly, I think I'm a gift. Text wise, though, it's like, I just had a banana sandwich. Like, what the fuck am I going to text out into the void?
We're going to do
this. Had a great BM. It's 9 a.m. Hope everyone's having a lit Tuesday. Like, what the fuck am I going to tweet?
Here's the thing. Chris, you don't know, but like outside of the podcast, Garrett kind of speaks in tweets. Like, I used to sit like this far from him at work and something would come out of his mouth. I'm like, and so now with the podcast, I'm like, promote. So just tweet that bullshit that you say all the goddamn time.
I wish I could pay Boca to tweet shit I say. That's what I want.
Give me your logins. I will manage your account.
Done. Done.
Cool. Yeah,
you're going to fucking find a way to get me deleted off the internet, but that's totally fair.
I haven't been canceled, and I run my fucking mouth.
Well, yeah, but I just mean, like, you're going to find a way to make me get fucking lit the fuck up, but I trust you with it.
There we go. So where were we in the movie? Sorry, Chris, you were saying something.
No, it wasn't. I was just saying there's that flower debate going around where the guy was saying that his wife just asked for flowers and he never gets her flowers because he thinks that flowers are stupid. And it's an ongoing issue in their relationship. And while I don't think that you should get married if that's not what you personally want to do, like if you're like very much so against marriage, like you shouldn't be, your hand shouldn't be forced. But like Garrett said earlier, I think it less that he was like afraid of actual marriage, more so afraid of like, just like the, I don't know, like the idea of like a wedding
fucking or
like, the idea of fucking up. I don't think he actually was genuinely afraid of marrying Jennifer Aniston. I think he wanted to be with her his whole life. Mm-hmm. So I think the reason that he caved is because like the same thing with the flowers. Like if you know that your partner is like very vocal about something, like this one thing would make them happy. If it's within your power, you should probably do it because the right way to love someone is to give them their love language and like what they feel they need in a relationship, not what they need or what you need. So I think for Ben Affleck, he's like, well, I'm not genuinely afraid of marriage. And this is what my partner who I love would like to make her happy. I will give it to her because I love her.
Yeah. So that was, it was nice cave, but it was nice. Coward. And then meanwhile, Bradley Cooper is juggling shit with Jennifer. Yeah, boo Bradley Cooper. Rocky Raccoon. What kind of work is that?
And then, I don't know. This up so bad. No, he fucked this up. The choice was so clear, and we'll get to it when he gets to that plot point.
Oh, okay. This is great because I don't know when you said the choice is clear. I'm like, oh, but
hit me up in the office. When we get to the office, hit me up. I'll take it from there.
What? Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's like, fine, Bradley Cooper, he's at least initially, he was like, I'm fighting temptation, but he loses. He's like, I can't find the card to give you for your career. Okay, how about he shows up at her yoga class. That's when he lost.
Well, because he texted her and said, like, is this your yoga class? And then he said, don't text me back if it is. And then he showed up.
Oh, that's what he said?
Yeah, because they have a whole conversation. He's like, I didn't know it's your class. She's like, you told me not to reply to you if it was my class. And he's like, well, you didn't reply, so here I am. And I was like, I respect that. Also, then they go to like some like YMCA or wherever she's
it's teaching connected yoga. To where she's teaching yoga. Yeah
and they like go swimming and he's like, I don't have swim trunks. She's like, me either. And but before that, they agreed to just be friends, and I was like, okay, we're just to be friends. This is my point, Chris. If you are deeply, profoundly sexually attracted to someone, you can't be friends with them, especially when right after you declare your friendship, they take off all of their clothes and jump in a public pool.
And I also have another thought about that, which I also think this might sound a little bit jealous-esque, but I also think when you are married, there's no real reason for you to be hanging out with another woman alone, regardless of how hot she is, unless you're at work. There's no reason for like into the evening you're hanging out with a woman alone that I don't know if you're my husband. Like you should
That's give fair.
People, you know, like a heads up, like, oh, like that is shady behavior. So
I would. If my wife was ever like, hey, I'm going to go to like Dave's yoga class. I was like, I don't fucking know Dave. I don't want to know Dave. Is there a public pool? Does he own swim trunks?
Are you high right now? Do you ever get nervous? Are you single?
Oh, God.
So They're at the swimming pool, and he's like, yeah, we'll just be friends, handshake on it. But Scarlett Johansson's like, I'm gonna get mines. Because her friend, Drew Barrymore, was like, well, I have a girlfriend whose girlfriend broke up a marriage. That was her fucking story. He's like, even if that did happen, do you want that to happen, really? It's like, why are you that into him?
I also feel like there's a key thing in Drew's story. Drew said that it was like her father's friend or someone, after being married 18 years, met a woman that he fell in love with, and then they were married for 22 years. But yeah. I think there is a difference if you meet someone. She didn't really say that the person cheated. She said that he felt like he met the love of his life while he was already married. Mm-hmm. I think there's a difference if you meet someone and you're in a relationship and you're like, wow, I feel something here.
let me deal with my relationship and then come back to this versus what Bradley Cooper does, which is let me pretend I'm not going to cheat and just lie to my wife and then cheat anyway and then have that awkward ass office scene happen. And that was
Some real shit. So it's like,
so that's my thought, circling back to the whole don't give someone a ultimatum thing, but let me write down the problem.
There's several.
Historical advice is based around, it was 1960. I had an old jalopy. I met your wife, your mom or my husband or whoever.
It was the summer of love.
Exactly. It's the grocery store. I was high as giraffe pussy on cheap LSD. Jimi Hendrix was lighting it up in the world. And I met your mom. And then we stayed in our same town for 37 years. We had you. We've seen three other places. I don't know how the internet works. And we've been happy ever since. And that story 100% works. It has for almost all of human history. The problem is now we got options and phones and apps and DMs and jobs and the internet and porn and 10,000 fucking things going on all at the same time. For you to be high school sweethearts in 2021, it either has to be the real fucking deal or
Mormon.
Someone put you on a timeline and now you met Scarlett Johansson and you went, oh, I could do better because it turns out I grew up to be Bradley Cooper. Mm-hmm. And it turns out as Bradley Cooper, I can pull Scarlett Johansson and I don't have to be with my wife who I met when I was 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know who doesn't get cheated on? Fucking anyone. Like, maybe, I don't know. But like people on deserted islands, right? It's like, it's us. You, me, and a volleyball. What you going to do?
Okay, no.
What? That's what you were also saying.
If you're fucking a volleyball, that's a different issue.
Tom Hanks definitely fucked Wilson, but that's a separate podcast. So.
That's a tweet right there. That's a tweet.
Tweet that out. You can tweet it. First one's free.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. All right, next one's a dollar. Fine. So he's fucking Scarlett Johansson now. And they're back in his office and they're about to fuck. And I was like, yo, Bradley Cooper's like, during the scene, I have full liberty to feel up Scarlett Johansson and I won't miss this opportunity. Cause like, goddamn, he was in there. But then knock, knock, knock. He's like, go away, Dolores. I'm busy with a client. It's like, it's not Dolores, it's your wife. Thank God this man has a closet. Kind of thank God this man has a closet. He thanked God in that moment that he had a closet. Probably should have thanked the devil. And so he goes from feeling up Scarlett Johansson to Jennifer Connelly coming in and trying to fuck him while Scarlett Johansson.
Stealing the podcast. I'm stealing the podcast.
Steal it.
Podcast now.
It's always kind of been.
You have Scarlett Johansson in the closet and your wife's coming home, who you've already admitted to cheating on at a Home Depot, which I got to say, it's a weird place, but
that was a great scene.
Focus making the loud face. Yeah. Did we already cover that? I don't pay attention to ourselves.
We didn't really.
Actually. So they're at Home Depot. They're looking at paint samples. She's like, hey, like, I don't like laminate flooring because it pretends to be hardwood. And I don't like things that pretend to be something that they're not. And he's like, I'm sleeping with another person. And she's like, oh, is this like a deal breaker for you? Or do you think we can work through this? And he was assuming like, oh, I'm going to go stay with Ben Affleck on a boat. I'm going to have sex with Scarlett Johansson because she's Scarlett Johansson. My life's about to be lit, but I'm going to pretend to be sad. And then she's like, maybe we can work through this. And he's like, yeah, we can work through this. This is a work through. I did this so we could work through this for me. And so then he assumed, as I think a lot of people would, that this would be the fucking deal breaker. And so, yeah, fast forward. She's like, the problem was that the sex part of our marriage had faded. So I'm going to show up to your work. At this point in time, if Scarlett Johansson's in the closet and you feel the way that you feel and you've been married for as long as you have and you have these type of concerns, what you say is, I have a lot of work to do. I'm going to be stern and off-putting. You're going to leave. This is going to end in the divorce that I want. And I'm going to get Scarlett Johansson out of that closet. But he does not. He has sexual intercourse with his wife, which, again, if you want to fix your marriage, is a great move. But if you actually want Scarlett Johansson, word of advice, don't fuck your wife in the office while Scarlett Johansson's in the closet. Listening. Don't do that. That would be a pro gamer move, would be to not do that.
Chris, how did you feel during the scene?
I mean, I agree. I think it was pretty trifling that he still slept with his wife.
So trifling.
That I think, yes, he's a coward. He should have just, he knew that he wasn't, he had fallen out of love with his wife a long time ago. So he should have, when he met Scarlett Johansson, maybe not the first time you meet in the freaking supermarket, you file for divorce. But when you start to realize that you have feelings, maybe you say, hey, we should get a separation, or we should, you know, slow this down. He knew that he wasn't interested in continuing with his wife. I do think that in reality, if you spend 15 years of your life with someone, you're pretty like interconnected in a way that is probably more familiar than is romantic. And so it's hard to just say no to that person because you feel very close to them. But I also will offer from the Tyler Perry movie, Why Did I Get Married? Have you all seen that movie?
I have seen that movie.
Oh, Christ, I haven't.
The 80-20 rule. You know what? I love ScarJo, but I can't help but feel like she is the 80-20 rule in the sense that I don't think that she was an in love either. I think it was just him realizing I can get hotter than my wife. And I don't need to be in this marriage. But I do think maybe what was holding him back was that deep down, he probably knew that Scarlett Johansson wasn't going to be his new wife. She would have been a relationship or a fling at best, but she wasn't going to end up being his wife. And maybe deep down, I think he just was scared to lose what he had because she, I mean, she's a good wife. She like keeps a clean home. She wants to decorate. She's really nice. She's friends with his friends. I mean, she's good friends with Ben Affleck's wife. It's like, or fiance at that point. It's like, it makes sense to keep her around. But yeah, no, I mean, he's gross. But
the same if you're ever in a marriage and you ever uttered the words internally in your own monologue, it makes sense to keep her around, but you got to get a divorce. That's my, vice versa. If you're a husband, you're ever like, I don't really want to have sex with him. I don't really find that attractive, but it makes sense. It's like, I don't know about that one.
We've spent too much time, and I know both of you have hard outs. Meanwhile, Boca has an open social calendar, but I do just want to take some moment to address the cigarette saga, because this is where it takes place. Yeah. At first,
also, I have another 15. I just got another 15. So we're
score. Fine. Yeah, but Chris has a hard out in like 15 too. Oh. So we're gonna.
Okay.
All right. So it's like, Jennifer Connelly's dad died to lung cancer, so she's strictly anti-cigarettes, and cigarettes are gross. So that's a very defensible stance. She finds some American spirits, but they're also having their fucking house renovated. There's a million people around. So at first, it's like, were you smoking? No, but we don't believe him because he's about to fucking cheat. Then when he tells her in Home Depot, he's like, by the way, I slept with another woman. She's like, also, were you smoking? He's like, not now, okay?
Right.
But then he goes on Ben Affleck's boat. Ben Affleck offers him a cigarette. And he's like, oh, and Bradley Cooper doesn't take it. He's like, oh yeah, you quit. So at that point, I was like, aha, he isn't smoking. And then after Jennifer Connelly fucks him in his office, she goes back home and is putting shit away, and cigarettes fall out of his fucking thing, and they're American spirits. He was smoking. What the fuck? That was really engaging for me. I don't know about y'all.
I loved it. I think it was symbolic, you know, when someone lies. I talk about this to my girlfriends all the time, not about this scene or the cigarettes, but when a guy lies to you about something small and tries to gaslight you about something small, it's usually an indication that they have no issue lying. I mean, it's something super simple. Like, so I think that's why the cigarette thing was so deep for her, because it's a simple thing, but he just like lied to her face so many times about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With like every fight in a relationship, 9 times out of 10 is not about what you're fighting about. It's just that whatever currently just happened is indicative of the thing that you're fighting about.
Yeah. Right.
So that happens. Then Jennifer Connelly, she smashes a mirror. Then she's like, ah, fuck, this is broken glass. She sweeps up the glass. And then instead of throwing all of his shit out the window, she like folds it all and sets all of Bradley Cooper's shit down. And it's like, I want a divorce. And buys him a carton of cigarettes, which aren't cheap. It's like American Spirits.
That was an expensive fuck you.
I'll say $55 to $65. So unnecessary. Could have gotten just a single pack to make the point. Whatever. Does that. So now, then also Scarlett Johansson leaves all pissed. Like, you made me sit there and listen to you fuck your wife. I'm done with you. Don't ever touch me again.
I the fact that she stayed in the closet, I would not have stayed in the closet. If I'm fucking with a girl and her husband comes in and she's like, yeah, I'll take it. I'm like,
I will fight your husband. Fuck it. I'm gonna get out this closet. I'm not gonna sit here and listen to you get piped by your husband.
Oof, that's some self-respect.
That was insane.
Yeah, so I felt
that's bad. Insane. You don't do that. Boca, are you staying in the closet?
The weird thing, I don't know, because it goes two ways. It really, I think about this, especially as a man. If I'm in the closet and she's fucking her husband's, like, do I want to get into it with this man in a physical altercation that could end with me dying like Richard Gere in, not Richard Gere, who's the guy that Richard Gere killed in Unfaithful? Whatever. Frenchman.
We just watched Le Petit Baguette.
Yes. And so it's, that's not his name for everyone listening, but it's like, do I want to respect myself? Yes. Do I know what this person's about? I don't know. So it's a mixed bag of what, it's a dice roll. It really is. But yeah, so now Bradley Cooper's, he has neither Jennifer Connelly nor Scarlett Johansson. He's getting beer in that same little mini mart. But meanwhile, then Scarlett Johansson, she runs back to E from Entourage, because whenever she just wants to feel good, she talks to this poor schmuck who's like, maybe if I rub your feet enough, you'll love me. But he got some advice from some of the men who he was showing houses to in Baltimore. And they're like, what exactly was the advice? But just like, shell the fuck up. Tell her shit and get off the pot. Respect yourself, whatever. I don't know.
Mostly just respect yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he shows up. He's ready to tell her like, hey, listen, cool that you came over, blah, blah. But she's curtain mind space, be like, oh, I just want to feel better, so I'm going to fuck you. Because they used to fuck, then they stopped fucking, and then she just used him, and he was like,
they
just
didn't going used with to it. Fuck. They did it once.
Fucked oh, they once. Only fucked Nine. Once.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they used to fuck.
No.
Yeah.
But again, Boca.
Yes.
You fucked Scarlett Johansson one time.
You're going to keep
bothering Scarlett Johansson. She comes to your door, she's like, I need you an emotional support blanket, no matter how bad I treat you. You're going to be like, well, I have to do this for me.
Listen, Dirty Work is one of my favorite songs. Shout out Steely Dan. You know, you love that song.
You're a Dirty Work guy?
Yeah. Times are hard. You're afraid to pay the fee. Hells yeah, brother.
Cheers.
Yeah. Well, all right. Chris is like, what the hell is going on? I'll send you a Spotify link. So they fuck. And then, like,
be this white people playlist, but I'll still.
It is on the white people playlist. Yeah.
I know it's on that playlist. Dude, his white people's playlist is just so disrespectful.
Don't you like the music on it?
The problem is it's just severely dated. It'd be like if I had a black people playlist that stops at like Tupac, and be like, racist. Okay, well, that just seems condescending.
Well, that's racist.
It's not. It's just exactly I'm not taking debate on this. It is the exact
don't reverse racism.
Fucking white people playlist. It's like it'd be like the Beastie Boys would be like the most modern song. It'd be like, oh, the whites will love this.
I have
one.
Good for you by Olivia Rodrigo.
Olivia Rodrigo. White, first
what?
Of all. Isn't she
Latin? White. She's not white. No.
Yikes. I'm updated.
Rodrigo.
I didn't think about it.
Do you Spain. Was like, that's
Spain.
A Smith.
Spain. She's people from Spain are white.
Oh, are we
She's
going?
Light skinned. She's not.
She's light skinned? She's not black. This isn't Mariah Carey, okay?
Who's also light skinned. So.
But Mariah Carey's black.
Boca's going just straight up like flesh tones at this point. He doesn't give a fuck what your cultural background is. You're white. If you are this hex code or below, you're white.
I'll be on her Wikipedia later. But in the meantime, so E from Entourage is about to buy a house and he shows Scarlett Johansson the house. He's like, hey, I was thinking about to get this house, but I want to get it if you don't like it, because I have a future plan and you're a piece of it because I care about you deeply. And her face was as if she saw the fucking devil. She was just like, she could have said zoinks out loud. She could have said jinkies the way she's like, I am terrified of this prospect. And I was like, oh, poor E from Entourage. Not again. First Emmanuel Chicory, now this.
Chris, has a man ever tried to set up like a date with you or future plans? And you're like, you're not in my future plans. No, not a house. I just mean like, has a guy ever been like, oh yeah, we can do this in like March and it's January. And you're like, you ain't going to be in March. I don't know how to break this to you.
Yes. No, yes. It's happened to me a few times. I have been told, I mean, I've been dumped. So I just like to say that I've felt, you know, more heartache than Garrett when I say the next part.
Everyone has.
But I have been told I love you three times by three different men who I did not return it to. So those three men, they did make future plans, and it was like, oh, you know, that happens. Happens to the best of us.
Wait. Okay, we have to unpack that. How do you deal with a "I don't love you, love you"? Because I have.
Oh Christ! He's like, I need to say tips.
One time in my career, it was so awkward that I was so caught off guard because it was at a time on the fifth date. That I was like, I love you too. And then my brain was like, we're at Taco Bell and you're having a cheesy gordita crunch with a stranger. How do you handle that?
That's terrifying.
Well, that was the red flag. It did not last long.
Dang. Yeah, I usually go with thank you. I'm not ready to say it back. That's what I've
said.
That's
good.
I just say, thank you. I appreciate that, but I'm not ready to say it back because I'm very empathetic. So, I mean, usually at this point, the relationships end when they say that and I don't feel it back, but I do feel like, you know, I've really cared about someone who didn't reciprocate those feelings. I never said, I love you, if I didn't think they would say it back, but I get it. I get really liking someone and, you know, realizing like, oh, they don't feel the same way and it sucks. So I don't want them to feel worse. I don't want to be like, I don't freaking love you. Like, I don't want them to feel worse about it. I'm like, thank you. I appreciate that. And then it's also kind of a wake up call for me. Cause I think sometimes when you like go through things, like the first person that ever said, I love you to me, no, the second person that ever said, I love you to me. And I didn't feel it. I just gone through a phase of like really liking someone who didn't like me back the same way. And I was a total idiot because he was a very clear fuck boy. Mm-hmm. And so I was in this phase of like, you know, hurt people. So I was just like completely on autopilot and I was dating this guy. And then like a blink of an eye, 3 months passed by and we're like cuddling on the couch and he's like, I love you. And I'm like, has enough time passed for you to say that to me and like genuinely mean it? Yeah. I think it's also a wake up call to be like, whoa, okay. I wasn't really checked into this relationship and I should, you know, be more mindful of my actions towards others. Cause I don't want to hurt people. I like people.
No.
You're giving us that light FM realness right now. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Delilah. Yeah.
Delilah.
Shout out Delilah. If you're listening, come on the pod. Wait, where were we in the fucking movie?
We closed out Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, we closed out.
I feel like E and Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, E and Drew Barrymore. Like
natural landing spot.
That was such a, the movie threw them a bone because that wouldn't have happened.
Drew Barrymore is in this movie for six forgettable minutes.
Yeah. Drew Barrymore, it's 2009 and she's looking for love.
She's only in this film so that E doesn't kill himself.
Yes. So I mean that's good. I would have been very upset if he killed himself. So yeah, and then it's like Drew Barrymore, he never met her, but they were communicating digitally because he was placing an advertisement in her zine. Was it a zine magazine newspaper? They meet in person and then they're going out. Hooray. And then lastly, Gigi and Jennifer Goodwin, Gigi and I'm a Mac, Justin Long. After Gigi ran out of the place and was like, I put myself out there. People like me. He realizes he loves her. And Busy Phillips is like, you love her or you like her. I don't know. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, but at least you want her, whatever. So then he pulls up and she's like, but what about everything you told me? All the advice you gave me? And it's like, what about all these rules? And like, you are the exception. And it's like, Chris, you liked it.
I love that part. I felt like it was a great way to tie it all together because I think it's very true. You know, a lot of times we date and people may do things, but if we really like them, we like ignore the red flags. So like, oh, he hasn't called me in a week. And that's normal because he's busy. But it's like, no, he's not busy. He doesn't like you. But if you really like someone, you kind of like sweep it under the rug. And I think a lot of us are the rule, but I also conversely think that whoever we end up with probably was shitty at some point in their dating career. They probably didn't treat someone the best or they didn't, but then every single person finds their exception. And I think that's true. I think like every person is the rule at some point and we date other people who are the rule, but when you find your person, they're the exception.
Oh,
That's very you got. That is profoundly, that is a very accurate statement.
Snaps for Chris. So that closes out, I think, everyone's shit. E ends up with Drew Barrymore. Jennifer Goodwin ends up with Justin Long. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Aniston get together. Scarlett Johansson, now she's by herself. And Jennifer Connelly's by herself. And Bradley Cooper's by himself. And yeah, did I miss anybody? And Busy Phillips keeps that bar running.
No, you got the whole cast.
Cool. All right. We're going to do a rapid fire round of the Kumite. Chris and Garrett, you two are working together here. So Garrett, you have some assistance because Chris has seen this movie a million times.
Oh, yes.
But we're going to play everyone's favorite game on Bromance Podcast. What's that name? Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Chris, are you ready? Okay. Okay. The mute's not going to help him. But we'll see how it goes. Garrett, Ben Affleck's character. What's that name?
Oh. Santa Claus. The incel who's somehow fucking the ex-wife. Doesn't believe in Santa. Neil.
Explain what the fuck that sentence means.
Neil, I thought is completely unfuckable in the Santa Claus. And for some reason, when Ben was like, I don't want to marry you, I made a sealed those two together.
Okay, fine. Points.
Am I even right?
Neil is the name. That's the thing. Yeah. All right. Jennifer Aniston. What's that name?
I'm built different.
He is built different. Terribly, but different.
Fuck. It's one of those like white women, like a Campbell soup name. That's like one of those like, just fucking throw her in the trash. We don't even.
Whoa. Like, this is Jennifer Aniston.
It's like Little House on the Prairie. Oh, Jennifer Aniston's a gift, but her name is trash, I believe, in this movie.
Chris, can you help him?
I got Becky.
I want to say Anne. Is it, or is that the wrong character? Because I know Drew. Sorry, I don't know if I'm cheating, but I know Drew Barrymore's Mary, right? And then is Scarlett Johansson Anne or Jennifer Aniston?
Scarlett Johansson is Anna. Drew Barrymore is Mary. We still need a name for Jennifer Aniston.
Damn.
Broth is what keeps coming to mind, but that's not a female's name. Beth? Yes. Is it Beth?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah. I mean, I got nothing here, man. I'm just making
Beth is correct. Beth is her name.
Holy fuck!
There you go.
But that's the fucking Kawhi Leonard off the rim bouncer that should not have gone in.
Exactly. That was a great game. All right. Kevin Connolly, a.k.a. E from Entourage. What's that name?
I have nothing. Chris,
you don't got to raise your hand.
Chris, you got anything?
It's Connor, right?
It is Connor. That is correct. All right. We're going to keep it moving. Bradley Cooper.
Connor has big cuck energy.
Of course. Bradley Cooper, character. What's that name?
Simple.
Is it simple?
It's one of the 12 tribes of Israel. It is. Okay. What do you want?
That helped. See? The fucking rice guy. The rice guy.
Wow. I hate
Ben. It's Ben.
God damn it. Yes, that's correct.
Right. Old rice guy.
Here's the final two. Jennifer Goodwin. We said the name a couple of times. It's very easy. What's her character's name?
Jen.
See the way he doesn't listen? You see how he doesn't listen, Chris?
Gigi.
You see
what I put up? Gigi is correct.
Yeah. And rounding this out, finishing it up, because there's a lot of people in this movie and I want to stop. Justin Long, I'm a Mac. What's that name?
Chris.
What are you pointing at?
I was doing the dance. I was thinking of Return of the Mac when you said that. For a second. Wait. Singing you guys.
Do you have a song for this?
Wasn't it like one of those names that could be a girl's name and a guy's name?
Yes. Yeah.
That limits the field. That's like Stacy, Alex, Charlie.
Alex. Isn't it?
It is Alex. That is correct.
Yeah. Lock that in.
Yeah. After much cajoling, hints, dance moves, you guys got all of the names of the major characters correct. How do y'all feel?
I still feel guilty, and I'm going to put myself on blast in the podcast. I forgot Chris was already on our fucking podcast, but literally 12 seconds afterwards, I remembered the entire podcast episode. So I'm throwing myself into the bus.
There we go. Do we have time for Who Do You Love and all that jazz?
Yeah, let's run it.
Cool. Chris, who's your favorite character? Who did you love?
You know what? Hot take. I'm going to say Gigi and her desperate ass, even though she was super duper desperate, just because I felt like we learned the most from her and Alex's characters. And then just, I think that Ben Affleck's character, can't remember his name now, but
yeah,
he was just a good guy. He was just a little bit afraid, but he was a great guy. He was a good friend, a good partner, all around good guy. Had a boat.
Yeah.
See, big boat energy.
There you go. Ben Affleck is my pick as well. Garrett, who's your, who did you love?
Okay, so I was going to also pick Ben. Ben Fox.
He did nothing wrong. Not even
literally.
All he did was like, I do not want to get married. He was about that from the jump. So it's like, he's sitting without sin in this film.
Scarlett Johansson is great in this movie as Scarlett Johansson.
Her character was a little, that's fucked. That she's so like, she knew from day one of meeting this man, he's married. And she's like, whatever.
What? Sometimes in life, you're Scarlett Johansson.
Do they last? There's too many couples.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, well, we can do that. We can do a power round. Can I get mine out of the way?
Yes.
Gigi and what's his face? I don't think it lasts. No. Ben and Jennifer Aniston, that lasts.
Yes.
Bradley Cooper, thankfully, that got itself out of its way. E and what's her?
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore, that doesn't last. Who else we got?
That's everyone.
That's all I got.
You got those correct. I was going back and forth because this could be too painful. But Chris, Garrett, who do you see yourselves as in this movie?
Ooh.
I have been every man in this movie.
Oh. Okay, don't elaborate. That's fine.
Sips quietly.
No, I'm easily E from Entourage. It's that simple. Maybe Justin Long. Don't fucking nod, Chris. maybe Justin Long with amount of metagame I'm hip to. But still, yeah, E from Entourage, a.k.a. Connor.
I see myself in everyone except Jennifer Connelly's character. I don't really resonate with her. Maybe just the type A-ness. I'm a little type A, so I resonate with that. But I see myself a little bit in all of them, but not really, because I feel like among my friends, I'm the girl being like, don't fall for that shit. So I'm not Gigi, because if a guy didn't text me in a week or call me in a week, I just would forget about them personally. But of course, you know, I've liked people before and had, you know, liked them way too much. And I don't know. I don't really see myself. I've accidentally dated someone who was in a relationship I didn't know. And I broke up with them when I found out. I've actually accidentally done that twice. And I broke up with them both when I found out.
accidentally dated a guy in a relationship once. Shame on. Anywho. Okay. So that's the podcast. That's it. Thank you all for being here, especially thank you, Chris. You can follow
us. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Follow us at Podcast Bromance, Twitter, Instagram, anchor.fm/bromancepod. Like, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. And tune in next week for our next movie. Bromance Podcast is sponsored by listeners like you and by Golden Lux Candles. Don't just talk about it, be about it. Want that love that you see in the rom-coms? Check out Golden Lux Candles. We have intentional candles ready to be set. They're featuring their That's the Way Love Goes candle right now on their website. This candle is charged with the intention of love. Are you looking to open your heart to love? Whether your intention is self-love, platonic love, romantic love. Okay, I'm sorry. This is more times I've said love than ever. And I'm about to get Beetlejuiced, you know? It's like, no, my kryptonite.
Ah. Eric never finds love again because he said it three times in a mirror with these candles lit.
Yeah, it's like Bloody Mary. But yeah, no, go to Golden Lux Candles or on Instagram at Golden, L-U-X-E. Candles. And then from there you can go to their Etsy shop. If you use code bromance, you can get a discount, you know. So Golden Lux Candles, they have candles dedicated to love, but these aren't just like light it and it smells like something. These are candles infused with intentions. Now, I read all the Harry Potter books. I know a lot about magic, witchcraft, so like, you know, I presume within these candles there's like your lover's hair will be implanted into these candles, and that when you burn it, you know, they'll then want just you.
Set apologies potion on fire is really what we're putting down here.
So remember, go to Instagram, go to at Golden, L-U-X-E, candles. Use promo code BROMANCE, all caps, B-R-O-M-A-N-C-E. Get yourself a candle.